Lord, just thank you for this opportunity to come this morning and spend time in your presence and hear what you have to say to us, Lord. Thank you for the thoughts, Lord, that you have placed on Maddie's heart this morning. And I pray that you would speak clearly through her, enable her to communicate simply what is on her heart, Lord. And I pray that you give her, give her clarity and boldness, Lord, and help us to have ears to hear what it is you're saying. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. I just need to provide you with a small caveat this morning, which is that grief is not a t-shirt. I can't take it off and put it over there and carry on regardless, so please bear with me. I'm feeling pretty raw. I'll be better now that I've just got that set, okay? So we are continuing our series, or we're starting, really, our proper series. Mark did the nice introduction for us, and now we're getting into it. And the first one, I don't have clever animations on my PowerPoint like Mark did, because I didn't ask him to do them for me. But we are looking at spiritual gifts this morning. And I love the lines from that song. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope, like wildfire in our very souls. Holy Spirit, come, invade us now. Yeah. If we have a little bit of that by the end, there's the time that I've finished talking, I'll be very, very happy. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope, like wildfire in our very souls. Holy Spirit, come, invade us now. Amen. So we're going to be looking at spiritual gifts this morning, and we're looking at we're going to look at that from 1 Corinthians 12. So you might want to turn to that in your Bible. If you don't have a Bible with you, the words are going to come up on the screen, and I'm just going to read those out to you. Now, about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you. Oh, it was going to come up. I'm going to have to press a button. Sorry. I've got a different version on the screen to the one I'm reading. Apologies for that. Now, about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that same one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. So, spiritual gifts. You could be forgiven for thinking that it sounds a bit spooky or a bit weird, spiritual gifts. Like for people who are uber spiritual, they have spiritual gifts. And that's something that you perhaps hope to attain, or maybe definitely don't hope to attain, depending on how you feel about the word spiritual. And so I just want to very quickly move away from talking about spiritual gifts and actually talk about gifts of the Spirit. Because I think that just makes more sense in terms of the language, and we're more familiar with it. We're perhaps more comfortable with it, gifts of the Spirit, than spiritual gifts. And the first thing I want to draw your attention to about spiritual gifts is that they They are specific to the person who sent them. They actually tell you more about the giver than they do about the receiver. And you will see a picture of a crazy machine up there. We went through a period in our lives where Mark bought the boys each birthday, usually birthdays actually, what became known as the Crazy Nutter present. And the green machine was the first of many Crazy Nutter presents. Simon, could you drop that mic down for me, please? And Crazy Nutter presents generally had wheels, generally went quite fast, and were generally quirky for some reason or another. And they really told you much more about the giver, Mark, than they did about the receivers, the children. The children grew to love them, and grew eagerly to anticipate them, and it would always be the source of, oh, what will the Crazy Nutter present be this time? But they told us, they said more about the giver than they did about the receiver. And spiritual gifts are the same as that. They tell us more about the spirit than they do about the person who's received them. They give us clues about the Holy Spirit and his work among us. So we're exhorted at the start of what we read not to be ignorant about spiritual gifts and or the gifts of the Spirit. And that's my hope this morning, is that by the end of the morning, if you feel ignorant right now, you will feel less ignorant by the end of this time together, and you'll feel equipped to do it. And probably for some of you, this is material that you've covered lots and lots of times, and I want to encourage you to just have an open heart this morning to God, because actually sometimes it's the simple thing, in the simple things, that God wants to take us forward. And I think all of us in the room would be, in a moment of absolute honesty, would say, we need more of God's Spirit in us. So this is something we all need to be open to learning more about, even if it's not new material for us. So, gifts of the Spirit. Who has them? Well, they're present, so they're given. There was a time when you and I didn't have the Spirit living in us. And now, by faith in Jesus, if you've confessed Jesus as your Lord and Saviour and accepted what he did for you through his death and resurrection, you now have the Spirit living in you. Just as Jesus had the Spirit living in him and his ministry on earth, and if we look through that list of things, that list of gifts of the Spirit, and we look through Jesus' life, we can see all of those in evidence in his life. That's because the Spirit was living in him and was at work in him. He had the bonus of being God himself as well, but you know, you get the point. So gifts are given by the Spirit. Everyone who has the Spirit in them is a recipient of gifts of the Spirit. You don't have to have the Spirit for a year and then you qualify. You don't have to believe in Jesus for X amount of time and have seen a certain number of things or been to church a certain number of times in order to be a recipient of the gifts of the Spirit. If you recognise Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, then the Spirit lives in you. And if the Spirit lives in you, then you are recipients of the gifts of the Spirit. You don't earn it, it's a gift. You don't deserve it, it's a gift. Not just the people who we think are more spiritual, like, you know, Mark and Amber. It's not just for those guys, it's for everybody. Nobody is disqualified from gifts of the Spirit. You are all qualified recipients of the gifts of the Spirit. So what are they? Well, we've got a long list from that passage, and I'm not going to particularly go through them all, because partly our intention with this series is that we'll start things on a Sunday morning and carry them on midweek. I'm not going to go through them all. But I bet, and I'll get you to think about one or two, I bet you can all think of times when actually God has given you at least one, if not more, of these gifts of the Spirit, when the Holy Spirit has given them to you. So messages of wisdom. Who's ever found themselves in a situation where they had suddenly something to say that was wise and helpful and applied God's truth to someone's life? Don't be shy. Lots of us. Okay, lots of us, yeah. That's good, I'm encouraged. Messages of knowledge. Something that the Holy Spirit tells you that you couldn't have known in any other way. People are nodding. These are some of these things are familiar to us. Faith, the ability to trust God beyond probable, beyond what was likely, to see something more than what was likely. I can think of numerous times in our lives, perhaps the one that stands out the most was when we decided to go to Uganda as a family. And, you know, it took a lot of faith to raise, I think it was over £4,000 we needed to raise. It was a lot of money, way beyond our natural means. But we had to do it because the boys had faith. And so they had faith. They had faith that God would do this. And so we went for it because there was faith. That was a gift of faith. Gifts of healing, miraculous powers, gifts of prophecy, the gift of distinguishing between spirits, gifts of tongues, gifts of interpretation, of making sense of tongues and the meaning of them. We all are familiar with these. Lots of these are familiar to us, and lots of them we use all of the time, or we're aware of and want to be using all of the time, and some are less familiar to us. But what he says is, don't be ignorant about them. So let's not be ignorant. We've used some of them, let's use them more, let's get to understand them better. Okay, so that's who they're for and what they are. Let's have a think about how they work. Well, verses 4 to 7 are particularly helpful with this. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. The gifts of the Spirit are given to us, yes, absolutely, but that doesn't mean that they're ours. And the outworking of them isn't ours. It's the work of the Spirit. It's not based on our ability to bring them to the fore, or embellish them, or make them sound or look good, or even know when to use them. None of that is through ourselves. Actually, if the Spirit had flesh, had an actual body, and was walking around the earth, as Jesus did when he was ministering, all of these things, the list of things, and the other lists at various different points in the Bible, there are four of them in total, those are the kinds of things that we'd see the Spirit doing. That's what we'd see. Where the Spirit was, those things would be happening. But that's not how it is. The Spirit doesn't have flesh and doesn't walk among us and do these things. Actually, the Spirit does have some flesh to indwell and to be on the earth and do these things. And it's called Sharon and Yvette and Louise and John and Reuben and Charlie. Each one of us, we are carriers of the Spirit. And by the Spirit dwelling in us, and I could go around the whole room, but time doesn't allow, all of us, you know, we are the flesh that the Spirit has to indwell and carry out this work on the earth. That's how it happens. It's his work, it's the Spirit's work, it's not our work. Every single one of us is that flesh that the Holy Spirit needs to indwell, to be able to carry out the work of these gifts through us. That's crazily insane, isn't it? And it makes sense of why, when Jesus ascended to heaven, he said to the disciples, wait. Because at that point they didn't have that indwelling Spirit, and they needed that to be able to do all that Jesus was leaving for them to do. I find that insane, that the Spirit lives in us in that way, and that's the work that he is doing. Okay, so we've got, who are they for? Everyone. What are they? A nice long list that we have in the Bible written down, so we don't have to commit to memory. We have how do they work? Not by our strength, not by our ability, but actually by the indwelling of the Spirit. And even that indwelling of the Spirit isn't something that we can do anything about. So it's actually got very little to do with us, in one sense. Okay. So what are they for? Well, wherever you find gifts of the Spirit in the Bible, they're in Romans 12, there's two sections in 1 Corinthians 12 where we're looking today, and there's another list in Ephesians 4. All of those passages of Scripture are instructing the church about how to be the church, about how to be the body of Christ, about how to live well together. So in this particular one, we read it, it says, for the common good. So therefore, the good of us in our relationships with each other and in our work as the body of Christ. But they're also, actually, as we each carry out our part and that gets joined up together, they are so that we, as a corporate body, can be the body to our head, who is Jesus, and can carry out the work that he has prepared for us to do on this earth. And so the sum of us and the indwelling Spirit in each of us and the gifts that he has given to each of us enables us to be individually and corporately who God has called for us to be as we walk this earth, as we walk our daily lives. So what are they for? Well, Paul, really interestingly, when he said he was going to visit, I'm not going to be able to remember the passage, I haven't written it down, but Paul talks about going to visit one of the churches that he might go and impart his gift, that they would be mutually encouraged. And I'm sure that if you've ever used one of these gifts that you've been given, you probably came away a bit encouraged. I know I have, if I've given a word or an encouragement, and I can see that it's built someone up, or if I've given a word of, you know, wisdom, or how about try this in your life kind of word, and someone's gone, oh, that's a really good idea, I hadn't thought of that. You feel encouraged, don't you? And the other person feels encouraged. And that's what Paul was the same as that. He was saying, come and share my gift with you, and we'll be mutually encouraged, building each other up. We will be built up together as we do that. And as we think about how, you know, we are shaped for all that God is calling us to do on this earth, actually that's a really essential part of it, that we build each other up and that we grow in confidence in those gifts, so that actually, yes, we're using them in here, but also so that the body of Christ is functioning beyond the walls of our meetings together, beyond our relationships in the room or our relationships in our midweek, but actually we're taking all that it means to be the body of Christ with us, with those gifts of the Spirit, to work on Monday morning. And we won't do that if we haven't practiced them in here, because it's a bit, you have to be a bit braver to do that. And we need that mutual encouragement, we need that feedback from each other to be able to take that step, to be able to take it beyond. So, here we go, let's think about this then. These two people have something in common. Do you know who the person on the left is? That's a Reuben.
Look at that.
Isn't that cute? I asked his permission, it's okay. Who's the person on the right?
Bill Collins.
That's Bill Collins.
Laura, were you right in on that? Phil Collins,
that was a yes then. Yeah. Are you encouraging, Laura?
Yeah.
A gift of encouragement, Mark.
Amazing.
Appreciate it. So, Reuben and Phil Collins have something in common.
Could it be the same birthday or something?
No.
No? They're both bold. Oh, no, not bold.
Ouch.
No.
Any more guesses? Absolutely, mate. that you don't have that in common. If it's the difference, fundamentally, there's a slight issue with that.
Is it a shared love of 80s rock classics?
It may well be that that's the answer I wasn't looking for, but yes.
It is prophetic that at some point he's going to be in a major rock band.
Can we buy shares now?
Shall I tell you? Okay, both of these people are drummers. Reuben had a drum for his third birthday, and he banged it a lot. He's a drummer. And Phil Collins.
Sure.
I mean, I put Phil Collins playing drums. I thought I made it easy for you guys. Come on. Both of these people are drummers. They both had a gift or something. And Reuben stopped using his now. I don't know if you noticed that or not. There's no drums in my house anymore. But
God told me.
Did he? I'm impressed with your obedience, darling. But when we're given a gift, we have a choice what we do with it. And we can bang our drum for a little while and then put it away. Or bang anything. Or we can continue in the gift and grow in that gift. And actually, when we're given gifts of the Spirit, unless we use them, we forget that we have them. We've all got presents at home in the cupboard that we've never really used, haven't we? And it's like we don't really have them because we don't use them. We might as well not have them because we don't use them. But actually, we're given gifts of the Spirit not to put them in a cupboard and remember that we have them, but actually to use them all of the time, to be in touch with them. If you want to be a great drummer, you have to do a lot of practice, don't you, Reeves?
Yes.
Thanks. Good, right on cue. You don't just get good at being a drummer by having a drum set. You don't just get good at having a gift of prophecy by talking to the people about the fact that you have a gift of prophecy. That's not how it works. And unless we work with the Spirit and allow the Spirit to bring that gift to life in us, it's not a lot of point in having it. You've probably all heard the phrase, be alert and not a lemming. Have you not heard that phrase?
No.
Okay, that would be just me then.
That's just you.
Okay. Oh, dear. That's awkward. Okay. So, be alert and not a lemming. Lemmings are familiar, they're aware of their environment in the sense that if their environment gets overcrowded, they just walk off somewhere else. They don't care what they walk off or where they walk off to. And lemmings will walk into the sea and drown themselves or walk off the edge of a cliff and die because they're just... they're not really in tune with their environment enough to think about the fact that that doesn't work. I think part of growing your gift, let me get to this, sorry. Part of growing your gift in the Spirit is about staying alert to the fact that you have a gift and to the fact that you have the Holy Spirit alive in you. And if you're not alert to those things, then you're going to miss all of the opportunities to use your gift. And I'm sure that we've probably all done this. I know I've done it, and I've come away. In fact, it happened to us at Vineyard the other week. Mark was speaking, and I had a prophetic word for somebody, and I didn't go and share it with them at the coffee break, and they were gone at the end of the meeting. And I've missed it. And we've all done that, haven't we? But we have to be alert all of the time to the Holy Spirit. And we have to be not a lemming. Just ditch the lemon thing. We have to be alert to what's going on around us and to the Holy Spirit. And sometimes it works in sync with who you are, and sometimes it works totally out of sync with who you are, and that entirely depends on you. You might be somebody who, when God speaks to them, and they've got a word for someone, it's a whole heart racing, hands sweaty, you know, thing. That might be you. And it feels, you know, you know you've got to share this word because you don't actually feel like you until you've done it. And you can't feel like you again until you've got rid of it. Or it might actually just be much more natural for you. It might be much more normal. You might just be in conversation with somebody and then you've got a word and there's no sweaty palms and there's no heart racing. And that's less embarrassing or less awkward possibly. But The point is that there isn't a pattern for how this works. It works because it's a partnership with the Holy Spirit and you. And you're the only person like you, so you can learn a certain amount from how it works for other people, but actually it's about you and the Holy Spirit and how that partnership works for you. Yesterday we were up in Derby, and we bumped into somebody who had a gift of faith, and it took me aback. He had so much faith that I was like, I don't have that much faith. And it was a friend of ours, and we've known him for years, and I don't remember him being like this in the past. Mark might correct me, but he wasn't. And we'd obviously, you know, shared pleasantries and our sorrow together, but he was asking about our lives and our situation. We told him about some of what's going on with us, and he was like, stop everything, I need to pray about that, and I'm going to pray. And he prayed with such faith, and I was just like, man, I don't have that's a gift of faith. And he was talking about different things that he's involved in, but clearly he has developed this gift of faith that he didn't used to have. Well, he'd been a Christian quite a long time when we knew him in the past, and he's been a Christian much longer now because it's about 15 years since we've seen him. So, you know, he's developed his gift of faith through exercising it, through engaging with things that have fed his ability to believe and trust God for what he cannot see. That was amazing, you know, amazing gift of faith. And he prayed for, you know, absolute healing and restoration and reversal, and I couldn't have prayed. Well, I could have probably said the words, but I wouldn't have had the faith to go. He prayed it with such faith. What a gift! And I'm sure we've all been. And I was blessed. I was blessed by it. I hope Mark was blessed by it too. Should have been if it wasn't. But I hope that Gary was blessed by being able to, you know, share with us in that way. And you know, he's obviously spent time praying, you know, and was quick to pray with insight and faith into our situation about which he knew very little. That's a gift of faith that he chose to come to the fore yesterday, even when we're there, you know, grieving for the loss of a very, very precious man. You know, he was still alert to what was going on around him and actually what the Spirit might be doing and the gift that he might have in that situation. So, Mark asked me to be quite practical, be as practical as I could today. So, I'd like to ask your permission, really, to show you how it works for me sometimes. If God speaks to me, if God gives me a word for somebody. I'm going to try and explain the process that's going on in my head when that happens, so that it gives you a window into how it might work. And you might think, oh, that's Laura looks really scared right now. It's all right, Laura. I wasn't going to pick you. into how it works, so that you might get a feeling for, oh, it might, you know, I'm different to that in this way, and it might work a bit more for me. Like that. So is that okay? Do I have your permission to do that? Adrian, can I share a word with you? Is that all right? So Adrian was drumming this morning and I was sat there, so I was facing Adrian, so that's probably part of what was going on. He was in my eye line all the time that we were worshipping. And I got thinking about Adrian, which I know you're probably not supposed to be doing when you're worshipping God, but hey, there we go. I was thinking about Adrian. I was thinking about the fact that he runs, and this is information I know. I know Adrian enough to know that he runs, and the conversation goes on in my head, but I can't prophesy about that because I know about it, and that's just rude. You can't do that. So, okay, God, you'll have to tell me something else whilst worshipping. And I was thinking about how Adrian's in a new season of his life at the moment, because things have changed for him significantly over the last months. And I was just thinking, and so I started to, that came into my mind, that thought. I was thinking, okay, maybe that's the Spirit. Okay, God, what is it you want to say to Adrian in this new season of his life? What is it you want me to tell him? Do you have something you want me to tell him? And I just carried on worshipping. and didn't think about it for a little while longer, and then I cried for a bit. I was at the front, so you couldn't see that I was crying, which worked for me. And then actually I just felt like the end of one of the songs, two words dropped into my head, and they were Treasure Hunt. And Adrian, I felt like God say to me that he says that your play days are not done, that he has treasure hunt for you to go on, and that in your life, in your daily life, there is treasure for you to find in what you're doing that has not yet been uncovered. And I felt like that treasure is in two different areas, Adrian. It's treasure for you to find in him, but also there is treasure in you that he has yet to bring to the fore, and his work is not yet finished in you. And that even as you partner with him to go and find treasure with him, to uncover what he would have you be doing and where you invest your time and your energies, also as you partner in that process, he is digging into you to mine treasure, to bring that to the fore, both for your benefit and for the benefit of others. And I didn't really have any of that other than the two words, treasure hunt. Is that it? Can I ask you, Adrian, if that's okay with you, the word I've given you? That's okay, I don't want to embarrass you, but... so that's how it works for me. It's not very spiritual, is it? You know, it's not very... I don't know, it's just the ordinary. I just looked at Adrian and I thought about him, and the thought dropped into my mind, and so I asked God what he might want to say about that thought. And he didn't really say a lot. And I knew I was going to have to stand up here and say something about not a lot. And then the Holy Spirit did something. Because it's not my work. It's not of me. It's not who I am. It's beyond my natural ability. It's because the Holy Spirit lives in me. And it's his work. He's doing it. When we're together in a room, we should be alert. We need to be noticing each other. We need to be noticing each other and aware that the Holy Spirit lives in us. There are people in this room who have gifts of encouragement, for sure. And it's not on the list that we've done today, but it's on another. There are people who have, I believe there's a gift of hugs. I think that's the best spiritual gift. But you know, it's about us being present, fully present here, fully indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and aware that that's how things are. And that's the bit we sometimes miss, I think. If we can become more aware, increasingly aware of the fact that actually the Holy Spirit lives in us, and Holy Spirit has work to do, and he partners with us to do that, and it's through us that that work will be done. And so can we just wait a minute? I just need to wait a minute. I don't know what I'm waiting for, guys, but I just feel like God's telling me I have to wait a minute. John, can I share something with you, if that is okay? As I was thinking of moving on, I'll try and explain to you how it's worked. As I was thinking of moving on, John dropped into my mind, but not sitting down in this meeting, walking along a path, and so I needed to just stop and ask God what that might be about. What's he saying to me about that? And John, I felt like I saw you walking along a path in a particular season, and the phrase that keeps coming into my mind is that there's a path that you've been walking down, and in a particular season, that actually when the season ends, it will be time to stop walking down that path. And it was almost like I saw you. There are two paths running alongside each other, and you're walking down this path, and along this path it's a particular season, and autumn is what I'm seeing. And actually there's another path that's to the right of the path, and along the path is spring. And I feel like there's an area in your life where you're walking down a path right now in a particular season, and you're mindful of the season, you're aware of it, you're very conscious of the season. And actually God says when that season comes to an end, there is a different path, and it will take you into a different season and through into a different season. And that it's not a season that you would expect to come immediately afterwards. So I'm seeing a season of autumn, and I'm seeing a season of spring along another path. And I feel like maybe there's a sense in you when you're anticipating a winter, a hard season ahead, and God is saying, actually, John, I have a spring for you. That where you feel you're headed, where you feel like something is going to become really difficult and tricky and barren and not see much life in it, actually God says, no, there's like a full stop to that path, and it doesn't walk you into a winter. And God said he has an alternative path for you to walk that will take you into a season of spring. Is that okay? So, gifts of the Spirit. Back to what we're talking about. I feel okay to move on now. That's good. So we've talked about growing our gift. We've talked about who the gifts are for. Who are the gifts for?
Everybody.
Yeah. There's a long list of them, and in fact, there's a few different lists. And maybe in your midweek groups this week, you'll look at the different lists. We've talked about the fact that we all have this Spirit living in us, and that they are for the common good, to build us up, but also so that we function fully as the body of Christ, together and beyond the walls of this room, beyond the walls of our meetings together, and for the sake of God's creation and for humanity in it. We've talked about how the gifts might grow, how we might use them. I've given you a couple of examples of the faith gift yesterday, and of how perhaps sometimes I have a bit of a prophetic gift. I don't know why I'm apologising for that, sorry. Sorry for apologising. But it's...
double apology.
Stopping, putting the spade down. This is funny, actually, this night. So what do we need to do? Well, we don't... pick your act up again. You don't need to be ignorant. That's what it says. So don't bury head here. Don't put head in sand and tell yourself that you've not been a Christian long enough yet to understand these things, and somebody will explain to you at some point down the line, and that will mean that you can do it then. You can't do it. It's not your work. It's the work of the Spirit, and the Spirit lives in you now. So don't be ignorant about this. Don't be ignorant about it. I don't know if you can see that. That was for Jo. She's not here this morning. Jo likes Christmas pictures early. But in the latter part of 1 Corinthians 12, where it talks about another list of gifts, it talks about eagerly desiring spiritual gifts or gifts of the Spirit. And that's a tiny toddler sitting with a plate of cookies at the bottom of the chimney waiting for Santa. I love it. But, you know, I don't know if you've ever been the recipient, recipient's not the right word. I don't know whether you've been the subject of somebody earnestly desiring something from you. Mark and I certainly have experienced that together. The boys have wanted a dog for a number of years. And wanting a dog started up like saying, can we have a dog? Every day. From all three of them. And it went through developing PowerPoints of justifications about why we needed a dog. It went through, this is mostly Reuben, it went through the development of actually what kind of dog we should have that would fit our family life and really cause the least inconvenience and therefore make it more possible. It went through praying for a dog. I'm not sure it ever got to fasting, actually. Maybe that's where it went wrong, boys.
I don't know, we still won.
We didn't.
When was the last time you got up in the morning and sat down by the side of your bed with that Is that even a word? Yeah. Thank you. And you desired the gift of prophecy. A gift of faith. A tongue. A message of wisdom. A message of knowledge. Because that's what earnestly desire means, doesn't it? And I don't think we, you know, we have to consciously, that's the bit that we have to do. Because we can sing Holy Spirit come invade us now, and he does. But he's not going to make us open our mouth and say, John, I have a word for you. He's not going to make you go and pray for somebody. He's not going to make you share the wisdom that you're thinking in your head when somebody's telling you about their situation where they feel stuck. He can't physically open your mouth. He won't force you. But actually, if you're earnestly desiring this already, and you're being alert, not a lemming, then when those situations present themselves to you, you're going to open your mouth, you're going to say things. And so I think our challenge actually is here. The challenge to us is actually here, to earnestly desire these things, to earnestly desire gifts of the Spirit, to accept that the Spirit lives in us and that the Spirit has work to do. And how that work is going to get done is through us allowing him to bring those gifts that he's given us to the fore every day. So I think our times of meeting together should be times when there are multiple expressions of gifts of the Spirit going on. And I believe they are already. I go away from meeting together really encouraged. That's because you've all been exercising the gifts of the Spirit. Isn't it? I mean, you're a nice bunch of people and everything, but actually it's because the Spirit is in you and has been working for our common good through us using the gifts that he's given with us when we're together. This should be an absolute Christmas every time we come, where we are all opening up the gifts of the Spirit that we have and we are all using them here liberally. There should always be prophecy. There should always be messages of wisdom. There should always be somebody who's got the faith to pray for perhaps my situation when I don't. There should always be that, because that's who we are called to be. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope, like wildfire in our very souls. Holy Spirit, come invade us now.